You've just tuned into The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. Real Steelers talk for hardcore fans.
Everyone, you've just tuned into The Blitz, a Pittsburgh Steelers fan podcast presented by SteelCityBlitz.com. My name is Matt. That's Mark. What's up, man?
You know, the usual stuff. It's incredibly humid here, despite not being very warm. So, you know, that means I'm sticking to the chair. But nevertheless, preseason football is underway, and we get to finally talk Steelers wearing the black and gold instead of just the white and gold with those silly infinity patches on them.
Yeah, this is true. Preseason football is back. Training camp, of course, is not well underway. The Steelers dropped their preseason opener in Pittsburgh to the Giants, 18-13. You know, I was following the, and I think I tweeted somewhere, or maybe I wrote it in that article for the blog. I said, trying to follow a Pound Steelers hashtag on Twitter during a game is ridiculous. I mean, you cannot possibly read the tweets, because, I mean, they fly by at, like, an exponential rate. Like, I will tweet something, and within a second, it scrolled off my page and, like, three pages down. It's actually, it's funny to watch, but honestly, I mean, it's, even in preseason, Steeler Nation is well, you know, it's like a well-oiled machine. You got all the opinions of, oh my God, this sucks, too. It's just preseason, to this guy's great, that guy's terrible. So, yeah, it was interesting, but, you know, it was a loss. They're 0-1 now. It's no big deal. The main thing was that there were no major injuries in this game. You know, starters got a couple of series, and then they gave way to all the backups. So, you know, there's a lot to talk about, and we'll cover as much as we can. But I think overall, after that first series for the offense, the second series went really well.
It was a lot better. You know, the one exception was the Gilbert holding penalty, which I have to tell you, as soon as I saw, had the game on, and I watched it tape delay. I got home late that night, and so I'm just sitting there cozying in, if you will, and I see referee Ron Winter standing in the end zone. I'm thinking, oh God, we're gonna get nailed for these five holding penalties. And thankfully it wasn't that. I would have been bad had I taken the over, but the one on Gilbert was a clear hold, so it didn't really matter. But be that as it may, yeah, you know, I mean, it's hard to sit here and say, you know, I love the offense because they didn't score a touchdown. They got a couple field goals. The one touchdown was a result of a miscue and a fumble recovery in the end zone by Adrian Robinson. So, you know, to sit here and say, well, the offense looked great, and, you know, they didn't. They struggled at times, but the offensive line, and especially Mr. DeCastro, he looked every bit a first-round draft pick Saturday night, man.
Yeah, they did. And I tell you, you know, just going back, the first drive was horrific. I mean, he was sacked, he had a pass batted down, you know, and it was just like, oh, man, here we go. But then, you know, they have, they had the blocked punt, and then of course the, you know, the defense held, thank goodness. So that was nice. But yeah, the second drive was a lot better in terms of, you know, they got the ball rolling. Passing game with nothing special. I mean, Ben was 4 of 8 for 36 yards. It's, I think, for the day. So it wasn't like it was an exercise in awesomeness by any stretch of the imagination, but the running game, you know, the guys blocking with a new zone blocking scheme, the running game was really something that, you know, I think was nice to see because it gave you a glimpse into what, you know, these guys are going to be able to do if they stay healthy and stay together and get some more practice in with this new scheme. So, you know, I think it was nice to see that. I mean, typically you're going to run a lot in preseason anyway because you're not going to tip your hand with all the pass plays, but it was nice to see them actually put some really good drives together. Of course, the story of the day on the ground was Rod Stevens Howling, or Lash is his nickname now. He had 7 carries for 40 yards. He looked really nice. I mean, he made you forget about Chris Rainey really big time. I mean, not that Chris Rainey was excellent, but we knew that guy had speed. Howling was just, Stevens Howling, he was cutting, he was stopping and starting. He was seeing the holes you know, just like a zone blocking scheme is, which is, of course, you know, where all the, you know, the lineman will block a certain direction, and then the running back has to pick the hole and hit it at the right time. So he did that. I think that was nice to see. He was definitely a bright spot in the ground game. Dwyer was pathetic, 6 carries, 15 yards. He was his typical gain a few yards and then lose a few. Granted, he was behind backups most of the time, but still, he didn't really do himself any favors with that performance, and the rest of the guys were just kind of, you know, there wasn't much of a ground game after that. But at least for the starters, I think the ground game was something positive to look at. And, yeah, the DeCastro was just a machine, dude. I mean, for a guy who didn't really play much last year, missed most of the season, to come in, you know, obviously he's feeling pretty fresh. Hopefully that knee holds up, but he looked great. I mean, that's exactly what you wanted. Get out there in front of the running back and start running people over.
Absolutely. It was so refreshing to see the run game running downhill. I mean, there wasn't the constant wait for the block to develop. There wasn't, you know, I'm going to dance behind the line a lot. You know, I think Stephen Towling may have done that once or twice to find some room, but several times he was getting to the outside. He'd find that little seam there, and boom, he would cut it in there. And I really think that was, once they knew that Le'Veon Bell was not going to play, and real quick on him, we understand he did practice today. He's supposedly fine. He ran mostly with the first team. So I think we're okay there. But Lash was just great. They didn't throw him the ball at all, if I remember correctly. But he's got to be a dangerous little receiver coming out of there, too. You know, as far as, like you said, Redmond and Dwyer, I mean, Redmond had a carry with the ones, and then Dwyer was mostly with the twos, and nothing fantastic. I mean, Dwyer was kind of out of position on a middle screen that Ben thought he was going one way, and he went the other. It was incomplete. And, you know, I mean, there's still a lot of things to work on. You know that, and I know that. I thought the tackles really good in the running game. I thought they were very average in pass protection. I don't know why our guys give ground. They give so much ground to the pass rusher, and instead of forcing them to the outside, it's like they get as close to Ben as they possibly can before Ben either dumps it or runs out of the pocket. I don't know what the technique being taught is there, but it just doesn't look like it's right. So, but again, a lot of positives with the offensive line.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I noticed, Mike Adams, who, of course, was on the left side, and Gilbert was on the right side. Yeah, I noticed Adams on several occasions just basically letting his man ride him straight back into Ben. Now, I don't know if that was necessarily technique or him just getting blown off the ball and he couldn't hold his ground. But, yeah, I think it's something where, you know, both of those guys are really inexperienced. I mean, Gilbert has been hurt a lot, although he does have, obviously, some more experience than what the Adams does. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, it's going to be patience with these guys because now they're the starters. You know, they are the unquestioned starters. If they're healthy, they're going to be in there. You know, I guess it remains to be seen for sure if they're both going to stay on the left and right side like they were in game one or if they'll swap them back and forth. I don't know yet. But, yeah, it's going to take some patience. Ben's going to take some sacks. You know, they're going to get blown off the ball. I mean, Gilbert's not exactly, you know, the most fleet of foot tackle out there. So, you know, but you're right. It was preseason. I mean, overall, nobody got killed. Nobody got hurt. So, you know, it was good on the offense on that side. Of course, Stephen Towling was the story of the day in the running game. As far as backups go, Gradkowski, 6 of 11, 35 yards when he came in relief for Ben. I think for the first time in a long time, I'm mildly confident in Ben's backup in Gradkowski. He's a gamer. He can run. You know, he knows he's a pretty smart player. He slides. So, you know, he was pretty decent in the limited snaps that he had. I mean, he wasn't perfect, but overall, I like what they're going with the backups here with Gradkowski. Now, Jones and Wilson, that's maybe a different story. You know, it depends on how that works out. But I really like Bruce there backing up Ben right now.
You know, and the thing that's nice about Gradkowski is, you know, and again, we're obviously observing from a distance, but he really seems to me to understand what his role is. He knows he's not there to be the starter. He knows he could be the starter, you know, give or take a snap here or there. But he runs the offense like he's the starter. I mean, he comes out there, he's talking to people. There was a situation, I can't remember the receiver, if it was Brown or who it was, not Antonio, but Justin Brown, that ran kind of a wrong route or made an incorrect read at the line or something, and he And Gradkowski, I mean, for a preseason game, he ran right to the sideline and grabbed the young man and was talking to him. And he wasn't riding him necessarily, but he was definitely in his face saying, look, this is what we missed on. You should have done this instead of that. You know, and Charlie Batch was a great guy, great leader to have, but, you know, Charlie was always just so laid back at times too. I don't know if that's good for some guys, bad for others. I'm assuming it is, but, you know, I just really like the way Gradkowski's carrying himself right now. And, yeah, you briefly mentioned Wilson and Jones. I'll tell you what, if Jones was just a free agent rookie, I think he'd already be cut.
Dude, his first play, and it's a safety? I mean, it just blew up, and I'm like, I mean, he and Vera Batch literally ran right into each other.
Well,
I mean,
yeah, it was
like, almost, really?
Yeah, it was almost as if they were going to simultaneously cut each other. You know, I mean, it was that bad. I mean, they both just kind of looked at each other afterwards like, dude, what did we just do? You know, we've had Baron Batch on the show before. He's a good young man, great kid. But I think he's going to be lost in the numbers game. And Jones, like I said, he's got that fourth-round pedigree sitting there that's going to save him, I think, and maybe put Wilson on the practice squad if they choose to keep a QB on the practice squad. Typically they won't. But, yeah, you know, I mean, the passing game was interesting. I mean, a lot of people are frustrated by the dink and dunk. And look, you know, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere for 2013. You know, with that said, I think Heath Miller's a big part of when it's dink and when it's dunk and when it's go deep, because he opens up the middle of the field so much, but he's not there yet. So, you know, have patience, people.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing about, you know, preseason is it's just patience. You know, you're going to see, you know, and that's like I tweeted, I think, a couple of times, for every good play, there's a dozen miscues that you don't see. You know, a guy blocks wrong, a guy misses a block, a guy totally blows a block or whatever. So, you know, this is what it's for. This is the time to work out the kinks and see who's going to be able to step up. Just quick on Batch, I think if Stephen Towling keeps this pace up, Batch is the odd man out, because both of those guys are of the same type of third-round back, change-of-pace type of guy. You know, I mean, so I think Stephen Towling is going to take that job from him if it comes down to those two. I don't think there's any question right now. But, you know, there's a lot to work out yet there. As far as the receivers go, you know, the quarterbacks spread it around. You know, Justin Brown he was leading the day with 4 catches for 32 yards. Sanders had 3 grabs, and then there was several with 2 and then with 1. So, you know, they spread it around a lot, which is what the preseason is all about. I really like Justin Brown. I tell you, did you see the catch that Wheaton made on the sideline that was ruled incomplete?
Well, I mean, I did.
It was really, really nice. I mean, obviously, he wasn't, you know, he lost control when he hit the ground. Right. But I think that was a sign of things to come with him. You know, he's very acrobatic. And, you know, that type of stuff of, you know, holding on to the ball when he hit the ground, you can be taught that. And, you know, sometimes it's just bad luck. It just comes loose. But I really like the guy's got speed to kill. I mean, I think he's going to be a good one.
No, I agree. I was immediately, and I said to somebody, you know, I don't even care that he dropped the ball. I think the fact that he laid out for it, he had both feet in bounds, you know, I thought just spoke volumes of his effort and his potential and ability. And then they came back with him on a little end around that was pretty well set up. They did a nice job making it look like it was going to go the other way. And he had 10 yards in a heartbeat. Really quick guy, you know. So, definitely liked his potential. I think with Plaxico being gone for the season, I think Justin Brown could definitely work his way into that fifth receiver role. You know, big kid, made some nice moves on the sideline to get a first down after a catch. And you know, then there's Derek Moy, who's a big, fast kid, too. I mean, J.D. Woods had 2 receptions. So there's a lot to kind of like about this receiving core.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's a lot of inexperience. I mean, once you get past Brown and Sanders, there isn't a whole lot left that's going to see the ball, you know, on a regular basis at this point. I mean, Plex, I think, was the guy they were probably going to use maybe more than people thought, at least in my opinion. I mean, obviously, he would have been a red zone target big time. But, you know, now that he's gone, there's a ton of speed, but also a ton of youth. So, you know, I think there's a lot to look forward to, but I think we'll see some growing pains, too, from these young guys. Obviously, Brown and Sanders will be your starters, and then they'll mix in whoever else they want after that. Switch over to the defensive side for a little bit here. The first team defense, you know, they got some work off of that blocked punt. They were pinned deep. Ike Taylor had a nice pass defense there to save the touchdown. They won up 3-0, the Giants did, after the field goal. But then that second drive, when Eli Manning smoked Will Gay and everybody else, man, I had visions of years ago when with Gay just getting blown up. So, I mean, Twitter went ballistic when that happened. I mean, obviously Gay wasn't the only one that was bad, but that was something where Eli Manning saw Cruz, and it was just wham, bam, thank you, man, touchdown.
It was. You alluded to it, and I did. I had these little flinches going on in my arms and in my upper body when I saw Gay getting burned on the play. I felt like I was in a time machine of some sort, and I don't think I threw up in my mouth, but I was close. it was freaky. And then you know, I'm not saying Victor Cruz is an easy guy to bring down. He's an all-pro receiver. But, I mean, Clark and Polamalu looked like they were trying to tackle chickens in the hen house. They just didn't have a clue, and of course he scored. But, you know, and if that's the one big play that they give up the whole game, well, okay, I guess you live with it. You certainly expect the offense to put more than 6 points on the board, that's for sure. But, you know, it's preseason. Obviously, Dick LeBeau, this is not his first rodeo, and he's been doing a number of different things with this group. And you know, you mentioned Ike Taylor had a couple nice plays. And, you know, there were a number of guys on defense that had really, really strong games for the Steelers on Saturday night.
Oh, my God, yeah. I think the defensive side of the ball was a lot more fun to watch, in my opinion, than offense was. Just because, you know, even I think the secondary right now as a whole, you know, with so many young guys, of course, you know, Cortez Allen isn't playing yet because he's recovering from the knee surgery, the minor, quote-unquote, knee surgery. So, you know, that gave a lot of guys a chance to get out there and really mix it up. But I tell you, as far as the secondary goes, those guys may not all be on the same page yet or know exactly what they're doing, but they can lay the wood. I mean, they were putting out some nice hits. You know, I mean, obviously they missed some tackles too, but, you know, Cromartie Smith was looking well. Josh Victorian had 4 tackles. You know, Robert Golden really stepping up their game and, you know, taking advantage of the chance they had, especially in the secondary. So it was nice to see them getting active, making hits, playing close to the line, sticking with their guy. So, you know, I think obviously Cortez will be the starter when he comes back, assuming he's ready to go, him and Ike Taylor. And then, you know, you mix in Will Gay and, God forbid, at a nickel or dime spot. I'm telling you, I cannot stand the man. I'm sorry. I can't stand him. He drives me bananas. But
and he's a very likable guy, too. And that's the trouble.
Yeah, he's very, very humble.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, I mean, he always gives credit to his teammates. You know, team player, God, I'll be back in Pittsburgh, blah, blah, blah. I'm all for that. I get why they signed him because of depth and inexperience and all that. But, man, oh, man, I saw him get burnt preseason or not, and my heart just went, oh, here we go again. But, you know, yeah, as far as the linebackers, I think that position just got a little more interesting with a display. Obviously, you know, the starters didn't play a whole lot, so, you know, those guys go without saying, but – I mean, Rolpe had 4 tackles. He was all over the field. You know, you had to like what you saw from first-round pick Jarvis Jones, who had some nice plays. But also, he got burned a lot. And I think a lot of people saw the fumble recovery and, you know, the nice open field tackle he made, which were good. No question about it. But I also saw him get blown off the line of scrimmage several times and really get run out of the play. So, you know, he's got a lot of natural talent, but he's still got a long way to go, too.
Well, he does, and talked about the same thing with Didi today on Trib Live Radio. Shameless plug. Absolutely. And, you know, if you just picked up the stat sheet Sunday morning and you hadn't seen the game and you saw, you know, Jarvis Jones, a couple tackles and fumble recovery, and, you know, oh, geez, the rookie's playing great already. You know what? He did some really good things. He did. But, I mean, I could have fallen on that fumble. You know, I
mean, right.
Running back was laying on it, and Jones kind of hit him, and the ball popped, and he rolled over and grabbed it. You know, and again, I don't mean to discredit anything, but you're right, and the weaknesses I saw in his game are exactly what I saw when I was looking at some video of him before the draft. I watched every single snap of him against Alabama in the SEC championship game, and I'm telling you what, Alabama, I think, just came out with a mindset. We're double-teaming him. On any time we run to that side of the field, and he was on a bike. He was backpedaling every time. And I will say this. I think Keith Butler and I think Dick LeBeau have really helped him understand what to do with the back pedal, or excuse me, with the double team a heck of a lot better. He has improved, but he's going to need to put some weight and strength on, too. He looks awfully wiry, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does to me, too. I mean, he is a little bit on the small side. You know, but I mean, we should be used to small linebackers seeing James Harrison for so long. But, you know, with Harrison, he was short, but he was just a tank. So, I mean, you know, he had such lower body power and leverage that he could, you know, blast through, you know, a 350-pound tackle or a double team. So, now you got to think, too, that whenever Jones does get on the field, assuming he's opposite Woodley, that's whenever he gets on there at this point, obviously Woodley's going to get the majority of the double team, so that'll give Jarvis Jones some opportunities. But, you know, if he's forced into action, say, opposite Worlds, or, you know, if they're spelling Worlds and Woodley for some reason or whatever the case is, you know, when he sees that double team, he's going to have to learn to deal with it. So, you know, he's got a long way to go. I think he's got the right mindset. He's a huge talent with a lot of tenacity. But, yeah, you're right. It's just going to take time. So, you know, I mean, we can't expect this guy to have 10 sacks this year because, you know, we don't know how much he's going to play.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of Worlds, cough, terrible. Yeah, I've gotten into it on a friendly banter, of course, on Twitter but several times. Just Worlds just drives me bananas. I mean, he had two bonehead personal fouls. I mean, the guy thinks he's, you know, James Harrison here or something. He's got some decent, obviously the guy's got some decent talent. I think he's slimmed down some. He's got a good motor, but he's also showing he's got a pretty hot temper right now, too. I mean, both of those personal fouls were just stupid. And, you know, I think he's going to be the opening week starter just because we know how much LeBeau does not like rookies, especially in a starting role. So unless somebody gets hurt, I think it's going to be Worlds and Woodley. I mean, you know, barring some kind of, you know, crazy change of heart by LeBeau. But, you know, I am not confident in Worlds whatsoever to A, stay healthy, B, stay out of the penalties, or C, just be consistent. You know, I mean, you know, a two-sack game and then no sacks for 5 weeks isn't going to cut it.
Well, you know, I've always said the problem with Worlds is he, I like him coming around the edge. The problem is when he gets around the edge. He is so deep already that the quarterback slides up in the pocket and delivers the ball. You know, the idea in this defense is to not let the QB slide up. It's to make him slide in the opposite direction. So there you have the other outside linebacker waiting to stick him into the ground. And that's, you know, we saw that several times with Worlds where he ran way too deep of the quarterback. And now James Harrison used to be able to do that because he did that great leverage underneath and could really shrink down the distance between himself and the quarterback. Well, Worlds doesn't have that. Worlds has to learn how to just slow it down and cut back into the quarterback, and instead he lets him slide up. Now, of course, you could make the argument that some of the guys got to get a little more push up the middle, too. But
sure.
You know, I that's just one of the things that's frustrated me, too. And the two penalties are just ridiculous. I mean, there's no need for them, obviously. And, you know, I heard Bob Papiani and the other guy talking about, you know, he's in a fight for his job. You can understand he's playing hard. It's play hard, but don't play stupid. You're right about the linebackers. Just getting back to that for a second. I'm telling you, Brian Roll was great. The rookie Vince Williams was great. You know, Adrian Robinson played halfway decent. I mean, they're going to have some tough decisions to make. And, of course, now you got Stevenson Sylvester with a high ankle sprain, and we all know how dreaded those can be. You know, he's a great special teams guy, but we've known he struggles on defense. So this is going to be really weird trying to project out who those backup linebackers are going to be.
Yeah, I mean, other than Jarvis Jones, who we know will make the squad, I mean, you know, Robinson and Roll. I mean, you know, and then, you know, depending on what Sylvester does, and, you know, by the way, if Sylvester misses any length of time, he's done. I mean, the guy's been in the league for a while. He's been hurt. You know, he hasn't been able to crack the backing, you know, the backup linebacker spot consistently when needed. So I think if he misses any significant time, he's going to be gone. I think he'll be an odd man out. But yeah, I really liked Brian Roll. Robinson looked good. I'd say Chris Carter is in a fight for his life right now. I liked him last year. I thought he showed potential in preseason. Then he got hurt. But I think he's going to be in a fight for his life, and it's no guarantee that he makes the roster right now. Obviously, there's 3 games left preseason, ton of time to make your name for yourself. But, yeah, it's almost I, you know, I would defy anybody to logically predict who's going to make the starting linebacker or the backup linebacker spot other than Jarvis Jones.
No, it's because it's hard.
Yeah, it is. So I think it's a good problem to have because all those guys are fighting for their jobs. They're playing hard, you know. So it's nice to see all that young talent working really hard and, you know, making some plays and being hungry. So it's going to be fun to watch. But, obviously, the starters are entrenched. But.
Let me cut you off here. What did you think of Al Woods and the young man, is it Brian Arnfelt, on the defensive line?
I'm telling you, Woods was like a machine, dude. Six tackles, three assists, and a sack?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was in the backfield. He was holding his ground. You know, he was using his leverage. I mean, that's exactly what you want to see. I mean, obviously, McClendon's going to be a starter here, but Woods and even Te'amu, who had, you know, two tackles credited to him, finally started to show what, you know, the Steelers thought when they drafted him last year before he made all the stupid mistakes in the offseason and all that other crap. So, yeah, I think both of those guys, Al Woods especially, holy crap. I mean, this guy was just a demon in the second half. And I tell you, I mean, you know, if he keeps playing like that, and again, it's only one preseason game, so let's not get stupid crazy here, but if he keeps that up, you know, based on what he showed last year in limited action too, hell, I mean, I'm happy with him and McClendon back there. And plus, Woods can play defensive end as well, so he's kind of a jack of all trades across the defensive line.
Well, I was just going to mention that. I think it was Ken Laird that tweeted out today at practice that said that Woods was the guy at nose tackle today. Steve McClendon was not out there, and at that particular time, Ken didn't know why, and I haven't really had a chance to check on any updated news there. But Woods is just absolutely invaluable, being able to play very good at either end position, and then be able to play the nose. Because I know they like the, and I can never say the young man's name, Fingapu. Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
Good one.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, they like what he's doing too. And Te'amu, you know, Te'amu looks a little better. Mm-hmm. I mean, apparently chasing vehicles down the streets of Pittsburgh. That'll cut a few pounds off. But, you know, I mean, there was a lot of good things on defense. And as we've kind of talked about many times, the biggest of them all was the fact that there seems to be some good health, at least through 1 week.
Yeah, you're right. I was moderately disappointed, for lack of a better term, in that, you know, Ziggy Hood doesn't look like he's done anything other than, you know, still be athletic. He's still getting blown off the ball. What in the world is going on with Cam Hayward? I mean, granted, he wasn't credited for any tackles or assists that I can tell here. I don't believe he was. But I mean, this guy was a first-round pick. Ziggy Hood was a first-round pick. Is Hood's job locked in right now still? Or is Hayward relegated to Kiesel's backup again?
I think that's where he's going to be. I think Woods is going to put an awful lot of pressure in there. And at that point, I think he's relegated to just that one defensive end spot. I don't know. He just doesn't, you know, I saw him hustling on a couple of plays where he almost looked like a linebacker running. You know, he was moving so fast but at the point of attack, I just don't see it. And I don't know. It's going to be a real interesting call with him. Of course, I think he's got one more year on his contract, whereas Ziggy Hood, of course, is free agent at the end of this year.
Yeah, you're right. I tell you, what if they were to put Al Woods out there opposite, you know, McClendon and Kiesel? I mean, if Woods is playing that well, maybe you don't take him off the field. I mean, it's something to think about. You know, at least from a rotation standpoint, depending on how LeBeau's going to do this. But I mean, you know, Woods just, he plays with so much leverage and power now. And you know, obviously, from a defensive end position, you're not going to get 15 sacks a year. You know, that's not what they're designed to do. They're designed to be run stoppers. And you know, if they get in the backfield and you know, get a sack, that's great. But they are designed in a 3-4 defense to stop the run. You hold your line, and you know, you hold your guys, take up a double team, and let the linebackers or safeties get in there for a sack or whatever they're going to do. So from that sense, I think Hood and Hayward both. I mean, obviously, they're both going to make the roster. We know that, but I'm not really overly impressed with either one, and I want to love Cam Hayward so much, and he's very quick. Yeah, I mean, he can shuffle down the line, but it seems like when he gets matched up in like a power battle one-on-one, he seems to just kind of get swallowed up.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They're both going to make the team, and it would be nice even if just one of them really, really emerged, and maybe left the other one in the dust. I don't know, because right now Elwood's, and again, as we prefaced, it's after one game. This is not, you know, an automatic entry into the Hall of Fame. But right now, Al Woods is the best defensive end on that team, I think. You know, obviously, exception to Kiesel, who's a veteran and played very, very well. You know, because I would put him at end right now over either Hood or Hayward, but we know that's probably not going to happen. You know, one of those two guys will be in there, most likely Hood. You know, but, you know, overall, the defense was pretty darn solid. I mean, Troy was up there at the line making a few good plays again. And of course you hold your breath every time he does, but, you know, and Clark is Clark. You know, I'm a little concerned about this talk about re-signing him. I mean, he's going to be 35 years old. I just don't know about safety at 35 years old.
Yeah, you're right. And I think the Steelers have talked about in the offseason, I heard several times about limiting the snaps of Polamalu, you know, meaning like rotating him out of the game a little more, which would allow a guy like Shamarco Thomas to get some good reps. And because obviously he's going to be a future, especially if they don't re-sign Clark next year, who you know Clark's going to want a bunch of money.
Yep.
So, you know, you got to be careful because you're right. You know, mid-30s right now, Clark still plays well. He still hustles and all that. But, you know, you got to be careful to signing him to anything more than a two-year deal. And you certainly don't want to break the bank on him. But, you know, you just got to hope that Polamalu stays healthy. I mean, you know, it just if I'm LeBeau, I mean, I play Troy a couple of series each preseason game and get him the hell out, because I mean, he's just so fragile now. He said he's changed his training regimen and blah blah blah,
yeah,
to hopefully stay more healthy. So we'll have to see how that goes. But I think overall, yeah, there was a lot to like with the defense, especially from a backup standpoint. You know, so after one preseason game, there was a lot of miscues, a ton of penalties, some bonehead plays and whatnot, but there were some good things happening all around. Special teams, let's just touch on that quick before we shut this down. What a disaster. I mean, my God. Al Everest, who, of course, you know, was cut a couple of years ago, from what I heard, I've never met the guy, but he seems like a very nice, likable guy. He must be just laughing all the way, you know, to the bank right now, because, I mean, the Steelers special teams were on the upswing when he was coaching. They were, you know, the return game was there, you know, the blocking downfield and the coverage guys were there, and since then, they have just sucked. And yesterday, now granted, and I said this before too, special teams always stinks in preseason. I mean, you know, if you get a return, it's because everybody else doesn't know what they're doing, because it's a bunch of scrubs out there. Everybody on special teams is trying to make the roster, and not everybody is used to playing special teams. So, you know, you get a lot of guys who have no clue what they're doing. So, you know, in all fairness, you have to take that into consideration when judging them. But, my God, they were just bad.
They were, and I echo everything you're saying. The team was. The special teams was better. And improving under Al Everest, and of course he was kind of unceremoniously dumped by Tomlin in preseason last year, and you know we've never really gotten a full story on that, and I don't think we ever will. But you know, everything I had heard about Ken Smith coming in, oh, this guy's great, he's super loud, he's always after these guys, you know, this is going to be a good special teams unit. And again, it's only one game, but man, there was some just really a muff punt, a block punt. I mean, this. You can't have this kind of stuff. And granted, there'll be some different bodies in there on game day come the regular season. But I think Mike Tomlin was even getting a little annoyed with it. Every time he saw something, he was kind of looking at Danny Smith like, man, what's going on out here? So they better address that sucker fast.
Yeah, you're right. And I mean, you know, as the cuts start coming in the coming weeks, you know, there'll be a lot, few plays. You know, we'll start to see some of the more regular guys that'll be out there. But, you know, there's going to be a handful of guys that make this team because of special teams plays. You know, the Steelers always usually carry a couple every year, the quote unquote special teams aces or special teams demons or whatever you want to call them. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it was just bad. It was the punt, the muff punts, the block punt, everything just did not look good. The return game was terrible. So overall, I mean, overall, it was a preseason game. The main thing I care about in these games is just no injuries. You know, I mean, get the starters some work and get them the hell out. And everybody else, you know, the stuff takes care of itself with position battles and whatnot. So, you know, overall, I think that, you know, like we said, there's a lot to like, you know, on offense and defense. Field goals, of course, Swijan was 2 for 2, you know, with a long of 41. You know, so he's pretty solid. You know, no issues there, in my opinion, at least not right now. Punting, Mormon, I guess, he had four punts with a 43.8-yard average. His long was 59, which is pretty good. But, I mean, is he like 100 years old or something?
Man, he has been around.
Like, isn't he an older guy, an older player?
He is. He has been around, I want to say, is it 12 years?
Yeah, 12 years. Yeah, I'm looking here. I'll keep talking. I'll look and see how long
he's
been.
Yeah, and he, well, his advantage, and I'm telling you, if you follow any of the tweeters that have been at camp, you know, half of them will say, well, this is Drew Butler's to lose, and then the other half are like, boy, he really can't compete with Mormon because of the hang time. And that's where Mormon is very, very good. He doesn't kick it deep or very long that often, but he's a very good directional / positional punter, and he's got the great hang time. And so I'm not ready to call it for Butler just yet. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't blame Drew Butler for the block punt. That was not on him. Who was it? Damon, just absolutely.
No, I don't either.
But I will say this about Butler. He takes his sweet time getting ready to kick the damn ball. I mean, I thought he was going to order up some tea.
Oh, I got it now.
At one point. During that replay, and he's got to get rid of that sucker quickly. So I don't know. I'm not sure if they're going to make any move there, you know, but certainly wouldn't shock me if they do go with Mormon just simply because he's got the hang time and he can punt the ball deep in the corners.
Yeah. Mormon's been in the league 13 seasons now. I think, you know, that's really what you want. I mean, obviously you want to have a big leg. You know, if you're punting from inside your own 10 or own 20, you want to be able to boot it downfield. But directional punting is so unbelievably important, especially when you're punting from anywhere near midfield. You know, I mean, if you can pin them inside the 20, you know, get that coffin corner going, I mean, that's just huge for a coverage team because that hang time just allows, you know, the coverage guys to get down there and surround, you know, the returner before he ever even has a chance to get it. So, yeah, I mean, Drew Butler may have the leg, but, I mean, I wouldn't be that upset to see Mormon get it just simply from the fact that he's got the experience and to be able to really positionally kick that ball. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's not exactly the youngest guy in the world, but, you know, hey, if he can directionally punt it like that, keep him. I don't care.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know what his salary is compared to Butler's. I don't know if that could factor in. You know, I got to go back and look at see where we are cap-wise. I know we're always tight this time of year. But, you know, that could play into it, and that certainly could have played into the decision of not going after a guy like Dallas Clark, who the Ravens went ahead and signed. And I'm not totally upset about that anyway. But, you know, who knows? I mean, I think right now, you know, Sweetsham will certainly keep the place-kicking job, and I guess I would lean towards Butler right now, but I won't be surprised one bit if Mormon gets it. And as far as kick returner, I mean, I like the little burst out of Reggie Dunn, but I don't know if he's going to be able to do much more. You know, he doesn't. They don't seem to have a lot of confidence in him as a fifth wide receiver, so I'm not real sure about him.
Yeah. I think right now, obviously, Antonio Brown and Sanders are not going to be returning many punts. So, I think the return game is a question mark that hopefully somebody will emerge, be it Dunn or somebody else, in the rest of the preseason games, because that's going to be an issue because the return game is so important. I mean, it's really your first offensive play of the series. So, you know, hopefully that will work itself out. You know, just throw it quickly as far as tight ends go. I think that's a major concern right now. Obviously, Paulson is pretty much the man right now. You know, only being what he's a second-year guy, right?
Yep.
Second-year. I mean, he's not going to maul anybody over in the blocking department like Heath can, but he's a decent receiver. He runs decent routes. He's got a little quickness to him. So, but yeah, the Steelers brought in two tight ends last week and, you know, before the game and all that. So, you know, the tight end battle will be something interesting to watch because it's really other than, Heath, who we know will make the roster, obviously just won't necessarily be ready to play right away. And Paulson, it's pretty much a crapshoot.
Well, he's going to be the starter. Sounds like Jamie McCoy will do a little bit of what they call the move tight end, who typically goes in motion back and forth a little bit more. You know, and certainly Will Johnson can do some things. David Johnson, you know, he had another knee cleanup about 2 weeks ago, so he's still a little ways away. And, you know, I guess the positive about the Steelers just not pursuing any big-time tight end free agent like Dallas Clark, maybe, and it's big maybe, Keith Miller is closer than any of us know to possibly returning. So that,
yeah,
that
I hope so.
Yeah, that would be good. And I know a certain number seven that would be very excited about that as well, to get him back. But you know, it's one game. Obviously, it gives us a ton to talk about, and it's always great to talk about it in general. But I'm really looking forward to next week. They'll be on the road in Washington. And I believe it's an ESPN game, Monday night game. And it'll be good to see who improves and who doesn't. You'll probably get to see some of these guys that made some plays against the twos and the threes, maybe slide up, get a little bit of action against the ones, and just test and see just how good they are. So I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy the preseason from that aspect.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think you'll see the starters probably play the whole first quarter, depending on how the series, you know, kind of play out and what's going on. They'll play at least the first quarter, and then they'll give way to everybody else again. So, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of strides they make and who maybe steps up to a different role. Who was playing in the fourth quarter, maybe now starts playing in the second quarter type of thing. So that'll be fun to watch. Like I always say with preseason, it's a great time to watch your favorite player and watch position battles open up, because getting mad at the score is just ridiculous. It's stupid, because it doesn't matter if you win or lose. I mean, winning is great, but in the end, you don't want any injuries, and you want to see young guys step up and take control of some position battles. So you don't, you want to see some clear-cut guys start grabbing a hold of those backup roles, or if there's a starting position up, watch them start to kind of take hold of that. So, you know, that's what you want. It'll be good to watch and see what they do next week and in the next, you know, several weeks of preseason yet. But I think, unless you got anything else, I got nothing else, man.
Hey, I'm good. Everybody that's listening, keep checking out the site. Again, we'll just put out some stuff there just about every day now. I'm getting some stuff out. And, please feel free to comment, shoot us an email if you have any questions or anything. Heck, even if you want to get a question answered on the show, we'll do our best. We have our connections. We're not like the big boys, but we have some connections here and there. So anything we can do, let us know, because the season is now underway.
Yes, finally, Steelers football is back. Yeah, and Mark Lake said, Mark Lake said, or like Mark said, I don't know, whoever you are. Yeah, I mean, definitely, shoot us questions. We love answering and, talking to people on Twitter, of course, the blog. It's always free to comment there. We like, positive comments and, questions and everything else. So, you don't have to blow smoke up our ass for us to talk to you. We're not like that. So, definitely, shoot us some questions, engage in a conversation. We're always happy to talk to Steelers football. But other than that, I think we will wrap it up. So, thanks for listening to The Blitz, presented by SteelCityBlitz.com, and don't forget to check out the blog every day.